Chip, good morning, sir. How are you?
What's up, brothers? Just enjoying that candy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Woo! I assume if you were going to give us a song to play about summer or hot weather or whatever, you would have said, hey, Logan, play me some Canned Heat going up the country. So hopefully I hit
that
on the head.
That's one of the amazing skills that you guys bring to the table is immediate recall of songs. I'm the guy who's had the lyrics wrong for, 20 years, but still sing it, at full voice in the car.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm terrible lyric guy, and I'm the guy that comes up with the fun. Like, that's not how that goes. Those aren't the right words. Yeah, I feel you on that one. How you been?
Been fantastic. Wonderful. Like you said, the weather's finally gotten warm. It seems like I gauge it all by being out in the soccer field with my son, and last week we were freezing. I think about this time last week, a week ago Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Logan, check your almanac weather records there. And, yesterday we're burning up, and getting sunburned sitting out in our chairs watching the soccer match. But that's good. Finally breaking out the golf clubs a little bit, finding a minute or two to sneak in around. And, of course, there's always plenty of Georgia going on, no matter what the situation is. So,
yeah.
Trying to stay up on all that, too.
Well, let's get your thoughts on the draft. And your latest work was the cautionary tale for prospects seeking to optimize pro potential. So let's do a little dive into that and your thoughts on all of that.
Well, I'm not saying this is directly why, but I couldn't help but notice that, four of the five undrafted guys, I think we're all had, let's just call them behavior blemishes, just things that had come up during their careers. And I'm not saying that's why they didn't get drafted, but the point of that story was if there's any motivation, to just avoid trouble in college, this is it, because the NFL, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful, entertainment outlet. It makes a ton of money. I think it might be the most popular sport around NFL football. I know between the three of us, it's college football, but around the world, it's a big sport. Certainly around the United States, but the fact of the matter is, they're looking to devalue you from the beginning of the draft process. I mean, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for chinks in your armor. They're looking for a slow 40 time. They're anything they can, because they don't want to pay maximum amount on every prospect they get. And I just thought that a little bit of a cautionary tale on a lot of those guys. Now look, Elijah Holyfield, there's a lot of things that they look for. He couldn't break a 4.8. That hurt him. Same thing with Isaac Nauta and some of the other guys. But the one thing that you absolutely have control of is whether you get in trouble. And, just say no to those things that get you in trouble off the field, because they can and will be used against you, which is not to say that everybody who gets in trouble doesn't get drafted. There's plenty of examples, and I pointed to a couple in there of guys that got drafted despite things they did, but it's commensurate with your talent level or where you might get drafted. So you just try to give them as little as there is as you possibly can to devalue you through the draft process. And so you have guys like Mecole Hardman that I think landed into a particularly good situation, and then you have other guys like Elijah Holyfield and some others who are going the free agent route. And, you can certainly make a roster that way. Lots of people have. David Andrews, the latest great example of that. But it is a tough road to hoe, going that way. And, it's really the odds of making it and getting that big contract going that route are certainly not as good as going the other way.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Chip, you asked, I will give you quickly. It was 83 yesterday. The high was in 2016. The record was 90 degrees. So you were actually having some nice cool golf weather yesterday. However, okay. You were on with Brandon Adams on Dog Nation Daily yesterday. You guys had a pretty interesting conversation, I thought, about Mecole Hardman. I'll kind of ask you the same question because I liked your answer on this. Did Georgia, now that we see Mecole, a second-round draft pick to the Kansas City Chiefs, did Georgia get its value out of Mecole Hardman? I know he played cornerback his first year, and he kind of, while he certainly had his moments, he was sort of kind of sparsely seen at times on the field at Georgia.
Well, you know, Kirby's actually weighed in on this a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken, about there is a little bit more pressure nowadays to play highly touted and certainly elite athletes, determined to be elite athletes, earlier in their career because the guarantees of keeping them, you know, all 4 years are decreasing. It feels like anyway. I'm sure there's data to support that, and I think Mecole Hardman's, you know, career will be looked back on a little bit in the same way Knowshon Moreno's was. Now Knowshon Moreno was out and out redshirted as a freshman. Now you look back on it, you really can't blame Mark Richt and that staff for what they did. They had really good running backs that year. You know, and I can't remember them all, but, you know, Thomas Brown was at the top of it, Craig Lumpkin.
And Danny Ware.
Danny Ware. I mean, they all ended up playing in the NFL. So, you know, you couldn't really fault that. And then he was the new guy, and he was blowing them up in kind of like Stetson Bennett was on scout team. In fact, I understand, you know, just this is getting off subject a little bit, but that Knowshon Moreno during – those scout team actually his first leap of a defender was actually executed in the scout team against the Georgia defense. I'm not sure who that person was, but anyway, we saw it a year or two later on the field, and certainly when he turned pro as a redshirt sophomore, as it was, you know, you turn around and went, God, did you get out of that? With Mecole Hardman, it was just simply he was evaluated by Jeremy Pruitt, who is his primary recruiter, as a defensive back. And, you know, I guess we'll never really know how good of a defensive back he could have been. But I'll never forget Sid Fritz, I think his name was, the Elbert County coach. He told me, I went up there and did a next generation on Mecole Hardman. He told me from the outset, he said, I know they want him to play cornerback down there, and he can probably be a great cornerback. He says, but I tell you what, you got to put the ball in that guy's hands, if you ask me. And that was kind of the determination they finally made. He spent a year, I think he played in all 14 games or 13 of 15 or whatever it was that first year, but he never started a game on defense. He spent the whole year learning to be a cornerback, and then by the end of that first year, he was transitioning back to receiver, and then we saw what we saw out of Mecole these last two seasons. So he's still raw. But you know what he is? He's really, really fast. And there's just, you know, the NFL appreciates that better than anything. And not only are they getting a receiver that they think they can train up and who's stepping, because of the Tyreek Hill situation, into a very advantageous situation, but he's also a returner as well. So I say, you know, Mecole, you know, really got the double bonanza on that pick, landing with the Kansas City Chiefs, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that couldn't have fallen any better for him.
Yeah. I mean, that was perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Chip Towers, AJC's, DogNation.com. All right, what are we, other than the obvious of the offseason, if we want to call it that, there's really not an offseason anymore, but other than the obvious wanting to make sure there's, you know, we had that little run there during spring practice where we were kind of ducking when we looked at the police report. But what are some of the other things we're kind of looking out for here now that G-Day is in the rearview mirror?
Well, I think it's really interesting what happens this time of year is almost more intriguing in some ways than it is when you're watching them on the field, because you know, now the training actually turns over to the players. And, you know, my understanding is Jake Fromm has really gone out of his way to organize Georgia's off-season effort. And, you know, that so what you're going to see a lot of from an offensive standpoint, now they do a bunch of 7-on-7 work during the summer. There's actually more supervised work they can do in the summer than they used to. I'm not sure if the 8-hour rule carries over to the whole summer, but there is a certain number of hours that they can practice under coach supervision. Sometimes that's just a strength and conditioning guy. But it's really up to the players to organize it. Aaron Murray was really good at this. Jake Fromm, I understand, has been good at this. But as the undisputed, you know, quarterback, he's organizing the offensive work. And, you know, it's really important over the summer. You got these guys here, not only the guys that you have that are coming out of spring practice, which I thought was very advantageous for the wide receivers that were here to work, but there's those new guys that will be coming in June, which will be here before you know it, late June, and enrolling in summer classes. And you know, they'll be out there on the field throwing with Jake Fromm every day possible. Now, you know, there's no limit to days that you can practice voluntarily. You can practice 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, if you want to voluntarily. It just can't be ordered. And I just think with Jake Fromm, knowing his work ethic and the way he's going about things and kind of everything that's on the line this year, I mean, I think they'll probably be, you know, working nearly as much as Dave Johnston and Jeff Dantzler do during baseball season. Lots of hours.
Hey, I tell you what, the success of the baseball team over the last couple of years has really caught everybody's eye, and I'm certainly happy for everybody involved with the team. I mean, it's been good. I know this past weekend wasn't a whole lot of fun, but it does happen in the SEC, and I know the Dogs will bounce back for sure.
Chip, I know the off season. Go ahead, Chip.
Well, I was just going to ask Dave a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You were there. You got to see it, and I know you'll talk to Coach Strickland on Thursday. But they got another game tonight. But based on what you saw there, at Mississippi State, it's nothing to panic about or anything like that. This is just you chalk that up as this happens sometimes. And I do realize that environment at Doty Noble Park is pretty special, as I understand.
Oh, and it's a brand. I mean, they redid this. I mean, it's a brand new stadium, and they really got it. They had perfect weather, and they had a guy set the all-time hits record in the conference. I mean, that place was rocking all weekend long. Then Hancock doesn't pitch and Chunk's out for two games, and it was just a perfect storm of stuff happening to Georgia. But yeah, no, it's not a panic button kind of situation at all. And you know, because it was funny, Mississippi State, they had gotten swept at Arkansas last weekend, and all their people were like, this is crazy, you should have seen us last weekend, you know, we had a horse. So
yeah,
and Jeff noticed that there were five sweeps this past weekend in the conference, and they were all by the home team. So you just get caught in it, and that was what happened to Georgia. So with Florida coming here this weekend, certainly looking forward to that, but it's definitely not a panic button situation or anything like that.
Chip, back to the football offseason now that things will slow down significantly. I expect over the next couple of months to hear a couple more sound bites or two from Dan Mullen, probably taking shots at Georgia, but Kirby Smart just seems to not bite on these things. It's just sort of his MO to kind of lay low in the offseason. Just put your prediction hat on, if you don't mind, as we roll over to, I guess it's back in Hoover, Alabama this year, SEC Media Days, mid-July. What do you think some of the storylines with the SEC East will be by then that we'll be talking about as the season approaches?
Well, we'll have a couple of encounters with Kirby between now and then. You know, golf tournaments he plays in down at Lake Oconee and one over in Birmingham. And, you know, if it were up to Kirby, I think at the end of spring practice until the start of preseason practice, he'd be done with us, or at least until SEC Media Days. But we still kind of follow him around like a bunch of little lap dogs, you know, and I have great utmost respect for the beat writing corps at Georgia in particular. I mean, all kidding aside, I'm making fun of it here, but you know, it can be a tough job, and especially when you know the Saban model, the Kirby model, is to limit information, and of course, you know, our jobs is to provide information, so they run counter to each other, and it's just kind of a little dance that we have to do all the time, and sometimes it results in us doing different stuff like jumping on a plane and going up to Notre Dame and see what's happening up there or other places around the SEC. But we'll have several opportunities to cross paths with Kirby. I think there's also going to be a fan situation down in Macon sometime in May, so we'll catch up with him and you know, the talk, the narrative between now and next fall is going to be, is Georgia ready for prime time? I mean, you know, you've been sitting there knocking on the door the last 2 years. There's some flaws, but this is a guys, I think, you know, I mean, I'm not telling y'all anything. Y'all cover the team as intensely as I do. This is a real deal team, but it's like any other team when they're sitting there under that magnifying glass. It has some flaws. They'll have to overcome the flaws. But you know what? I remember going into the 2017 season talking about the flaws, talking about, you know, whether Jacob Eason was you know, going to be able to refine his quarterbacking skills. I wasn't even talking about Jake Fromm at that time. Whether Nick Chubb could be Nick Chubb again, you know, having decided to come back for a senior year. It's almost a more exciting time from now until media days in Hoover, because you just really don't know. We think we know all the storylines right now, but there's always storylines that we haven't anticipated yet. And, you know, it'll be fun between now and then to figure out what those are.
It's funny you mentioned the draft again, back to that, with what happened with Sony and Nick and then what happened this year. You know, does it make you think that there might be the way Georgia and again, I know some of the – like I think a couple of these guys were told they needed to come back, that they weren't probably going to get drafted where they wanted to be. But I wonder if we're going to start seeing a little bit of a change with some of these athletes in that, hey, maybe it is better to come back. Maybe we need to train – you know, if we do leave early, maybe we need to think about who we're training with and that kind of thing. I mean, I'll be curious to see how all that kind of plays out here over the next few years.
Or maybe just
well, here's the one thing about that, Dave, that I would say is that you know, we look at the draft and we look at underclassmen coming out and we think they're all the same, right? They all make a decision they want to be drafted certain. You never know. I mean, it's like just a few years ago when Isaiah McKenzie was coming back and everybody's just thinking that he's just turning pro. But the reality is that, you know, statute of limitations is probably passed now, but he didn't have an opportunity to come back.
Yeah.
You know, he academically, he wasn't going to be able to come back. So that's why he turned pro. So I don't know if any of these guys got that situation. Their academics are protected by federal law called FERPA, and as well they should be. I don't want anybody to know what my grades are either when I was in school. But the fact of the matter is it's not always as cut and dried as you see. And, like, you got guys like Elijah Holyfield, who's just this guy is a workout, gym rat, just loves working out, like his father, you know, just wants to train, 100% of the time for what it is he wants to do. You know, Isaac Nauta, I've really got no explanation for that. I mean, I didn't think that was smart from the beginning. I don't think it's a smart at the end. I don't think seventh round was good. I think Riley Ridley could have vastly improved his situation by coming back a year. But could he come back? I don't know. I mean, nobody's told me anything different. But, I think, you know, a 6'2", 200-pound receiver as a featured guy could have improved from fourth round to the first round. What's the difference in that? That's probably $5 million or so. Or you look at DeAndre Baker, he probably gained $5 million by coming back. So it's never, but then you got Mecole Hardman who, you know, got second round money. I don't know that he could have improved on that. Maybe he becomes a first rounder if he spends one more year, but you know, it's the United States of America and you just got to kind of tip your cap and salute the flag and say, you know what? You're free to make whatever choice you want.
I know it's we say the players made the choice, and then we're certainly right that the players decided to go out early. But can we also kind of blame the NCAA and the NFL? Look at the NBA model where Nicholas Claxton right now has declared for the draft. He can go to the combine, but if he doesn't like what happens, what he hears there, he can go back
and
to
hire
Georgia
an agent.
And hire an agent. We saw Yonte Maton do it also. Will the NFL and NCAA ever adopt that model for football where these players can go to the combine, get the information they need, and then decide, hey, it's not what I thought it was, I'm going to go back? Do you think we'll ever get there?
Well, you know, I don't know if they will. I think baseball is the only sport that really has it right. And I wish they would all adopt the exact same scenario. Football is close to it, obviously, and I don't think that's as much of a problem, though. It's just a matter of time before somebody tests that legally, and they're going to prevail if they test it legally. you should be able to do whatever you want to do with your life professionally, is what it always going to come back down to. It's going to come back down to freedom at the end of the day. But, you know, basketball desperately, in my opinion, for its own good, college basketball needs to adopt the amateur baseball draft rules. But I don't know that they ever will. It's not in their hands. I mean, that's been lobbied ad nauseum, as I understand it. But, you know, the NBA's, you know, collective bargaining agreement is what's not allowing it to change, as I understand it. But they've got it about right. I mean, you know, Nick Claxton, what can you say? I mean, you know, he's going to go check it out. He was invited to a combine, which is, you know, A, good news for him. B, probably bad news for Georgia fans that want to see him come back, because that's one step closer to getting to the NBA when you get that actual invite to the NBA combine. But, you know, he's a 6'11 agile player who can shoot. If he can get first-round money now, there's no guarantee you would get it next year. So you kind of got to understand that. But if he does come back, that's going to be very helpful both to Georgia, and I think it'd be helpful to him as well.
Chip, always great talking to you, my man. We'll catch you again next week.
We got all the problems solved. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everything's good. Thanks, man.
All right. See you later.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.